Well, let's go into our Bible, if you have it today, and I'm sure you'll be encouraged by this word. Isaiah 59, verse 1, I want to talk about the hand of God. Everybody say the hand of God. So our title is the hand of God, and I want to talk to you about the Spirit of God and the anointing of God. That's our topic, the Spirit of God and the anointing of God. And our title is the hand of God. Isaiah 59, 1, the King James Version. I neglected to help you guys out here in the back. Let me just, Faith City Church, I neglected to do that. There's so much things you'd think about in the morning. You know, you come here, you got this to do, that to do, you got to sign that, and you know, you got to sign this thing over here, talk to that guy. So that's why a lot of times if you see me, I come later. You know, I've been pastoring for almost 37 years. I'm 35 years for sure. I was youth pastor before that. A lot of times I learned something over 35. You think you learned something 35 years? So I used to come in early. I used to come an hour earlier. Then I would get in all the stuff that went on, all the fights that went on before service and all the stuff that went on, all the mishaps and whatever. So I forget that. I said, nope. I'm going to come fresh out of the anointing of God, come to church and make sure I don't listen to anything. I won't hear anything. So that's what I do. So anyway, that's how you see me coming in sometimes. I'm not doing it because I want to be late. I do it because that's me. So if you know, too bad if you want to change me, you can't change me. I'm going to be like this way for a long time. So anyway, if you want to be here, talk to me after because we stay here 2 hours after. So. If you want to wait around for me and talk to me, then you can do that after. So Isaiah 59, 1, the King James Version says, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened, that it cannot save, neither his ears heavy, that it cannot hear. The Bible says the hand of God is not shortened. Well, that means God is not limited to reach you. You know, that He sees everything. God hears everything. He always will hear you. He always will see whatever you have in your, whatever problems you got, he'll see you. And what I want to get across to you this morning is that God's power is always available. And that we must activate that power if we are to do it. Like say, for instance, Psalm 91, he says, you know, in Psalm 91, it talks about it there, he that dwells in a secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Then he goes on in that verse. He says, I will say of the Lord, he is my, whatever, shepherd, rock, you know, he is my refuge. He goes on to make those confessions. And he goes on to make more confession. 1,000 may fall at my side, and 10,000 might fall at my other side, but it will not come near me. So you have to activate by believing God that he is the God. You know, he will look after you. He hears you. That's why the Bible says his word here, he will not, his ears are not deaf. We see this expression throughout the Bible, the hand of the Lord. In the Old Testament, we also see that in the New Testament. The Lord is always available to us when we call out to him for help. The hand of God will reach down to assist us no matter what our trouble may be. The hand of God is what we call the anointing of God or the Spirit of God or the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we refer to this hand of God as the power of God. We activate that power for ourselves with our faith. By believing his word, by saying what the word says about us in the scriptures. You know, we look at here in Isaiah 61, God was speaking to Israel, and the passage is speaking about us as well. And he was speaking to them in their disobedience. You know, God will still be there if you disobey. He's going to be there to help you get back on track. He doesn't reject you. The reason for the problem was that they strayed from God and that they were not in position to receive his help. You know, you could get away from God and do things on your own. In fact, you could actually be sitting in church and be away from God. You're here physically, but in your heart, you're far away from God. Just because you're here physically, don't mean you're with your God's there. You have to be with God everywhere, your spirit, soul, and body. And they did it over and over, these Israelites. As we study the Old Testament, the Apostle Paul said it was their situation is an example for us today. Amen. That we shouldn't do like them and cause trouble for ourselves. A lot of the troubles, if you look at, examine your own life, you'll find it's really not the devil that did it, although he became a part of it. It's really your disobedience. Right. You read the Psalms over and over, you'll see that they disobeyed. Whatever they got away from God, they got into trouble, and God, they called it to God. God saved them again, and they went back again, and they did the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over. If you've been away from God, call out to him. He'll help you again. Amen. You don't have three chances. You have more than three chances. If not, Luke would be dead a long time ago. Okay? So we have more than three chances, right? So these people were our ancestors, our example. Over here in Romans 15:4, it says, such things were written, I'm talking about the problems they had, were written for in the scripture long ago to teach us. Everybody say, teach me. So you read the Old Testament, you read the plight of these Israelites, it's a type and shadow of an individual Christian or a church or the church itself or believer. So whatever happened to them, you can take examples that it's teaching us something for ourselves. The scripture, it says, the scriptures give us hope, encouragement as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. The common English version says, and the scriptures were written to us to teach us, encourage us by giving us hope. You know, it's wonderful to have hope. You might be in trouble now, but if you get a picture of God's word, you'll have hope for your future. And many people die hopeless because they can't hope anymore. So we give them the scriptures. The TPT Bible of that version, Romans 15:4, says whatever was written beforehand is meant to instruct us to live to how to live life. The scriptures impart to us encouragement and inspiration so that we can live in hope and endure all things. So if we look at over here, let's see here. 1 Corinthians, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures here, starting from verse 1. Let's go read 13 verses here. It's good to read verses of scripture in the Bible. You know, Jesus read scriptures in the scripture. He read the book, the different books. But I want you to listen to this so that you won't fall into the same category. Like I mentioned, you can be in church and still be disobedient and away from God, and you wonder why things are not working out for you. Examine your life. You can be away spiritually, but here physically. And so you're sitting here with your bony nose looking at somebody else outside and saying, how come they, look at those guys. But what about you? I'm challenging you today. Amen? Praise God. Well, anyway, you might have a fat nose. I don't know. Who knows? So verse 1 says, I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by the cloud that moved ahead of them. All of them were walked on the sea, on dry ground, in the cloud and in the sea. All of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food. All of them drank the same spiritual water, and they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them. That rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them. Well, we want God to be pleased with us. And there, you know, the Bible says that when we walk by faith, it pleases the Lord. Amen. Without faith, you cannot please God. Right. You do everything to please in that fashion. So God was not pleased with most of them, and yet their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Well, what happened to them? Well, they disobeyed. These things happened as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did. They worship idols, and some of them, the scripture said. The people celebrated with feasting and drinking and indulge in pagan revelry. I looked at that word pagan revelry, and one of the versions says orgies. And verse 8 says that we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did. I mean, he's talking to the church. I said, he's talking to the church right here. 1 Corinthians is the New Testament church. He's not talking to unbelievers. He's talking to born-again people. And born-again people, we need to live right. Right? So we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in the wilderness. Now listen to this. I want to give you some insight. You know, we see people in church, and they look like they're living right for God. You don't know their heart. And you wonder why some of them die early. And they're doing things in their private lives that none of us can see, but only God can see, and God will deal with people. And they go through different situations in life. And God has to deal with every one of us. And God, the Bible says God's eyes is not dim. He can't see you, nor is ears deaf. He can hear you. He can see everything you're doing. But sometimes God has to remove his hand so that, you know, you learn a lesson. I remember Brother Higgins said, you know, he's in church, and he trips, and he falls down and hurt his elbow. He pulled his elbow right off, and there's a nurse there in that church. And they took him to the emergency, the nearest hospital to that church. And sitting in the back seat of that car, and he heard a voice said, "You never broke your arm. You're going to be okay." You know, and he tells the people in that car with him, "Did you hear that?" "Hear what?" They said, "We didn't hear anything." And so he said, "I'll tell you when I get there." So he went to the hospital. Happened to be a specialist there at that time because the nurse knew that was in that church. He says, "There's somebody there to help him out." So he says, "I got good news and bad news." He said, "What's the good news?" He said, "Well, you know, your arm is not broken. But the bad news is it's worse than having your arm broken because you pull all the your everything out, the ligaments, and I mean, what do you call these things that attach to yourself? Is it tendons? So pull it right out, and you stretch this and tear this and everything. It's going to take longer for you to heal from that injury than you would if you broke your arm." And then the doctor left, and he's sitting in his room there, and Jesus comes in. He said, "I heard somebody walking down the road, down the hallway," and Jesus walks into the room and pulls up a chair. He said, "I told you in the car, I'll come and I'll tell you something." So he came and told him. He says, "You know," he says, "I want to tell you why you hurt your arm. So I'm trying to attach this to the story here." And he says, "That happened to you because you disobeyed me. I told you to do this, to preach these messages and teach on these subjects, and you went away and did whatever you wanted to do." You know, we just can't just follow and do whatever we want to do. Especially if you're called in a higher level of calling and just do what you want. And that's why I don't travel. You ask me why I don't travel, because that's the reason why. Because the Lord said to me, just follow what I tell you to do. I'll bring whatever I need. I'll bring the people you need and bring the finances you need. Now, I don't always feel the way. So under anointing, you hear that, "Oh, you're wonderful." But when the anointing leaves, you get scared again. Because you have to walk by faith. You don't walk by the anointing. So, so he says, you'll take you quicker. This healing, you'll be there for 14 days or 14 days. I can't remember what it was. He said, you'll be in a cast like this. You'll be in an arm sling for this many days. But I'm going to heal you quicker than you ever would have been. But he said, "Listen to me. I'm going to leave only 1% of that in there so that you will not disobey me again." I want to tell you something, Jesus said to him. "That happened to you because you disobeyed me." And he said, "If I didn't pull my hand away from you and allow that to happen to you, You would have died down the road because I was trying to get your, I've been trying to get your attention, but this happened so that you wouldn't have died. You would have died if I didn't allow that to happen to you. The mercy of God. Did he get healed? Yes, he did get healed. Was it quicker? Yes, it was quicker. And God brought him back in. And so I'm saying over here, sometimes, you know, the hand of God has to, you know, God remove his hand a little bit and so that we can learn some things because of his wonderful compassion in our lives. I don't just do anything I want to do. Like, for instance, you know, I'm preaching messages over here. I just don't preach whatever I want to preach. I ask God, what should I preach Sunday? And I'm sometimes nervous. Every 2 days, I got to find a fresh message for 35 years. You try that for 3 days. It's like writing an essay every 3 days in university. I know what it's like writing essays in university. How many of you done it? 6 of you. You should all go to school. I'm telling you, to write sermons, messages is not that easy. You got to research every week. Stay in the Word. And so, let's go ahead and read on. Is that a good story or what? Yeah, it's a good story. So, we must not engage in sexual immorality, as some of them did, causing them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to test, as some of them did, and did eat and did died from snake bites. Well, you don't want to die from a snake bite. I mean, that's a type there. Don't grumble as some of them did. How many of you are grumbling this morning coming here? Oh, man, I have to go. This is a long service. Well, you were in a bingo for 12 hours. And an hour and a half for church service. You watched a hockey game for 3 hours, didn't even complain about it last night. And then you watched another game in the everything and went back to eat a pizza. Don't grumble as some of them did, and they were destroyed by the death angel. Angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. Take an example. So it's better to learn by somebody else's example than you having the problem yourself. Man, I can't even pronounce my words anymore. Anyway, to warn us who live at the end of this age, if you think you are standing on strong standing, be careful not to fall. The temptations in your life are no different from what others experience. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure it. God will show you how to get out of stuff when you run into trouble. If you're in trouble right now, don't just, cry for, 5 hours and 1 week and, You know, when I first got saved, I would get into trouble, and it was hard for me to bounce back in life. You know, when you get mature, you bounce back quicker. But if you're a baby and you cry, you ask everybody else to pray for you, and you tell every Christian friend how much trouble you have. Oh, I've been having this. I've been starving. You know, my car, I don't have no tires, whatever. You keep telling people how bad it is, right? I'm talking to somebody here. Anyway, did you ever see people around you, maybe even close family members, and how they got into trouble? Or even other church family members? People are on their own, they're their own worst enemy. And they blame God for their trouble or the government. You got no money because of Trudeau? Did he buy all those trucks that you bought? You bought those trucks. And you took those vacations on MasterCard. He didn't do that. Hey, man. I listen to a guy. He says, "Act your own wage." That means have a budget. That means live within your budget, and you won't go broke if you live in the budget. Give God some money, but don't give him all. Your sowing is for you, not for God. God's work, we supply God's work, but don't give everything, and blame God or the devil. So, they take themselves out of position to be blessed. You have to maintain your parameter. Stay in your own lane, like they said. You know, the devil is trying to kill you, and he'll do it if he can, but he just can't kill you. The devil just can't kill you anytime he wants. You know, it's amazing that we're afraid of the devil. He'll do it right away. No, he's going to. You know, the devil said that to me for many years. Especially when I first became a pastor, he told me he's going to kill me. And he tried, but the Lord helped me. And thank God for that. He'll help you too. You don't have to be jealous about that. Because he helps everybody. If you believe him, right? He said, "Why? How come he doesn't help me?" Well, he'll help you too. So we're all going through hard times. You know, you yourself might not go through a hard time, but if your kids go through a hard time, then you have a hard time. You might not be sick, but your wife might be sick, but then so you have a hard time. So everybody around you affects people. People affect you. You know, and so different things happening all over the world. Remember, the hand of God is the anointing of God, as I said. Many Christians are experiencing troubles today, but John 6:33, Jesus said that we will experience troubles and trials, but he said, be of good cheer. How does good cheer look like? Show your neighbor how good cheer looks like. Come on. Huh? How does it sound like? How does good cheer sound like? Huh? So, yeah, that's what it is. Like, you know, when you're having a good cheer, you don't just kind of pull back and, you know, and cry and mope around and, you know, look at the ground. No, you look up, man, you got a swagger. I watched those American hockey players come into the Montreal Forum like that. They walked around like this. They own the place. How many of you watched that hockey game last night? Well, three sanctified people. They came in there, and right at the drop of the puck, those Americans start fighting. But they're Canadian boys. They start fighting. 9 seconds, it was three fights. That was a great game. Amen. Amen. Pastor needs help. Yeah, that's why my wife's watching curling. I come upstairs, she's going. I said, "What are you doing?" Practicing. I'm going like this. And she's going. Anyways, I thank God. That's why I have two large televisions in my home. Now, if the girls come over, I have to use this. Jesus said, "I've told you so that you might have peace in your hearts because of me." This is John 6:33, Common English. While you're in the world, you'll have to suffer. But cheer up, I've defeated the world. This is Jesus talking. You know, we're not going to just ride through this life and just not have any trials. If you want to live here, this one lady says to Brother Hagin one time, pray, you come up to the healing line, pray for me that I'll have no trouble anymore with the devil. He said, "What, you want me to pray that you die?" No. He said, "That's the only way you'll not ever have trouble, is that to be here in this world." So God will minister every situation that you're experiencing right now. Especially in these last days, trials will come our way. And we really can't avoid some of these trials because we live in this world. Because people's lives affect us. Our communities affect us. Our city affect us. Things that happen in our city, the murders, the drug addiction, the violence and the racism and all that stuff, all the lack, economic situation affects every one of us. So we're all having some kind of something going on. People lose jobs and whatever. So we can overcome it by the hand of God, though. God can help you. Isaiah 41 says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yea, I will help you. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness." That's the power of God. Amen. He will hold you. It's not time to give up and quit. It's not time to, step aside. Thank God for Psalm 91. It says that no harm will come near you. So we need to speak this out as God says he would and start, activating the power of God. As we see in Mark chapter 5, verse 28 to 34, the woman with the issue of blood spoke the words of faith. Like in blind Bartimaeus in Acts chapter 10, he asked and he believed God. The sick man who was born before in Luke chapter, these guys carried him. They activated the power of God in their lives. The power of God is always present. I want to tell you right now, the power of God is here right now. God is everywhere all at the same time. I was reading that chapter. I pray this every day for you. In Ephesians chapter 3, the Bible says that the Lord fills everywhere with himself. That's the latter section of that Pauline prayer. The Lord fills everywhere, everything with himself. That means God is everywhere at the same time. It's hard for us to imagine that God's everywhere. And he knows everybody's name. He knows what you ate for breakfast. He knows everything, what's going to happen next. He knows even the words that will come out of your mouth before you say it. It's incredible. God's incredible how he could actually do that. And when you pray, he's right there at the same time as you're praying for that individual or those people or whatever it is. He's right there. His angels are there. And I was praying the other day, and the Lord says, I have my people everywhere. If you pray for somebody in Toronto or somewhere like that, he said, I got my people right there, and I know exactly who to send there. I know what to do. God is everywhere at the same time. He's got his people. He's got you. That's why I sent this man over here with me to Saskatchewan. We didn't ask him to come, but he came. He used some of his own money, or most of his money, and he used his own truck. I didn't ask him, bring your truck, bring this, bring that. No, he came on his own accord, and he was a tremendous blessing, tremendous blessing. People said, he's my bodyguard. He's like this. I mean, it's that, he told me a story once. By the way, George LaRocque, George LaRocque? How about GSP, George St. Pierre? Well, he was at the game last night, introducing the Team Canada as it came in. And they started fighting right away. He's a UFC guy. No wonder they started fighting. But anyways, Nathan, he was a brawler, a drinker one time. But he said I think it was you or your friend. He said, they were having a fight or something, and he said, I'll take care of this. He got a good licking. You never know who you're going to fight. I mean, the guy might be just like 3 feet tall. Well, anyway, no more violence. I probably won't talk about that anymore. But we have to speak the word of God, activate the power in our lives. Psalm 91 says, I will say of the Lord. The woman said in Mark chapter 5, she said, if I just can touch Jesus' garment, I shall be whole. That's what she said, didn't she? And Mark 5:25, I believe it is. In fact, 28. If I can just touch Jesus' garment, I will be whole. I shall be whole. That's what she said. She heard of Jesus. That's how she got her faith. And apparently, Jesus, everywhere he went, he preached, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to heal. That's what she heard. And so she said, if I can just touch Jesus' garment, I shall be healed. In verse 34, Jesus said, your faith made you well. It wasn't Jesus said, hey, listen, the anointing is strong right now. That's why you got healed. The anointing was strong. No, the lady said that. You have to say, thank God you're my healer. Thank God that you're my provider. You're my peace, Lord. When you're going through trouble, trial times, Lord, you're my peace. You're my strong tower. I'm stable. My faith is strong and I'm stable. You got to say that when you feel like falling apart. I was reading scriptures in there. He said, I trust in God, so I'm stable like the mountains that surround Jerusalem. I'm unshakable. I mean, you mean you say that? Yeah, you got to say it. If you want to be what the Word of God says. And that woman, Psalm 91 says, I will save the Lord. I will save the Lord. Say, I will say of the Lord. So you have to say these things, you know, like it might be like, you know, why do you keep harping on that? Why do you keep saying that? Because people don't do it. They think they know it in their mind. They say, oh, I remember that. No, you won't. A lot of times people don't do it. They do it when it's when they had the trouble. Do it before. Say you're healed before you get sick. Say I have more than enough before you need money. So when the time happens, you say, oh, don't worry about that. The money will come in. I mean, you know, things happen. You got to say these things and build your strong faith up so that, you know, you don't have to, get blown away by the winds of whatever. You say it for healing. You say it for preservation, financial needs, personal needs, and so on. You have to stay in faith even when you don't see anything happening. The hand of God is working for you even when things don't look like it's working. You know, you might say, oh, I don't know how, if you just go by how it looks and how it feels and what it looks like, what the circumstances look like, if you say, oh, it's not working. No, listen, we don't go by how it looks, we go by what God says in His Word. His Word is always true. It'll come to pass in our lives. God will help you even when you doubt. In Matthew 14:25, I mean, you have a little doubt in your head. You know, listen, you'll always have doubt come into your head, but don't let it into your heart. Because doubt will always come to your head. But you can pull it down. So about 3 o'clock in the morning, Matthew chapter 4:25, 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came towards them walking on the water. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in fear, they cried, it's a ghost. Now, why in the world would you be afraid of Jesus? I guess they didn't recognize him, somebody said. But Jesus spoke to them at once, says, don't be afraid. Take courage, I'm here. And Jesus and Peter called to him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water. Verse 29 says, yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over on the side of the boat and he walked on the water towards Jesus. Verse 30, when he saw the strong wind, what did he see? He saw the strong wind. He forgot what Jesus said, come. And the waves, and he was terrified, began to sink. Save me, he says. You know, fear and faith in your heart don't work the same thing. Jesus immediately reached out, grabbed him. You have so little faith, he said, why did you doubt me? When they climbed back to the boat, they stopped. The wind stopped, and they came, around. They were all okay about it after. So many people sometimes discount Peter because he sank, but he stepped out on the water, didn't he? He had the word of Jesus at that time. And we have a word of God. We have the scriptures. Jesus, it said there he sank because he looked at the circumstances and the wind and the rough waters, the scripture says there. He got his mind off the word of God and onto the situation that he was in. So we can learn something here. Jesus said, why did you doubt? And he doubted what Jesus said by looking at what the situation said to him. So when things are going south, say, the hand of God is working for me. The hand of God is on me right now, working for me. If you're like Peter, who lost focus, God will help you, just like he helped Peter. God has done everything he's going to do about your situation right up to now. It's up to you to believe God for the hand of God to help you. So don't quit when hard times come, because the hand of God is there to help you. You are. Know who you are in difficult situations, that you are in Christ. Don't get your eyes off the Word of God about what God said. Don't lose focus. Say what the Word says about your situation. Don't say what the problem is going to do in your life. You say, yes, I know I have that problem, but listen, I got God's Word for it. You know, 1 Peter 5:6 says, in due time, if you humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, in other words, Holy Spirit, I'm going to yield to you right now. And hand of God is the Holy Spirit. God's Spirit is here. I'm humbling myself to you in the name of Jesus. I'm submitting myself to you. Now, you can't lie about it. He knows if you're humbling yourself or not. We may not look like, he said, it might not look like, you know, it's happening, but God will help you. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Due time is sometime. Soon. Amen? And so we don't like the word wait sometime, because we want things to happen right now. Psalm 118, verse 16 says, the strong arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. Has he done great things for you? Yes, he has. He never stops working. He'll always work for you when things seem impossible. The hand of God is the same hand of God that was in the Old Testament. It's the hand of God is the same hand of God that he was when he was with Peter and all the rest of the apostles. So don't give up. In fact, the hand of God is here right now to help you. Praise God. I could see the hand of God working in us. Everybody stand to your feet. Thank you, Lord. Did you get encouraged?
Yes.
Or you feel sad? Eh? Praise God. We're all happy for it. Lord, I want to thank you this morning. I want to thank you for the wonderful things that you said in your word. We thank you for you're faithful. Look at all those years that you brought Miss Grace. She's 87 years young. How you helped her. She lost her husband at a very young age, but she's still here. And how you brought that little girl to these parents that we would have never understood. How you bring couples together and they have children. And how you kept me alive all these years. I think about all the trouble I was in. All the hard times I had. And I remember all those times I was in that little washroom in the residential school crying, where are my parents? Why isn't anybody coming to see me? I remember crying in that washroom. Some of you understand what I'm saying. When I was in that jail cell, in the district jail right over here, just down the road, crying in there, asking, God, get me out of this trouble again, and I'll help, I'll serve you, whatever. And I went right back into what I was doing, same day. But God's merciful. I remember those times crying and shaking like a leaf in the detox center, crying out to God, Lord, help me. Time and time again, walking on the street with no money, hitchhiking, right, going from place to place. I remember when I was a little boy, my mom was so drunk. She had her hand in my hand, and we're walking through a deep bush area, over the tracks and around the tracks and up around the highway, the main highway. It was so dark. I was clutching my mom's hand. She was very drunk, out of her mind. Somehow that impressed me. Say with me for years. And wondered where my parents were all those times I was alone. Hungry. Not just for 2 days, I'm talking about it like a week at a time. Just eating maybe a piece of bannock here and there, maybe some lard, some tea with no sugar in it. Maybe bust into somebody's house, steal some food while they're away. I mean, things, God's hand was there. And I'm telling you these stories right now because, you know, God, how good God is. Listen, I was over in the reserve. You know, I'll tell you something here. This man, you know, I preached a message. He said, sir, come here. And I didn't want to live. I'm tired. I had a long, stretched out day. I preached a message, and I want to go home. And the man says, come here. And I act like, you know, I was like, felt like a ragged, tired. And he called me over. He says, son, come here. I said, I want to tell you what my son. I just didn't really want to hear another testimony long. So he tells me, you know, what happened. He said, my wife and I have been praying for my son for years and years. My son was the head of a drug cartel, belonged to the Mexican whatever, and my son is one of the highest level of drug dealers on our reservation in the area of where they were, it's Saskatchewan. And we were praying, and so we said, Lord, you know, we don't know what to do to help him. Send him to jail, do something. So he ends up in jail. So he's doing some time in jail. And one day he said, I'm standing there. My friend says to me, hey, what's wrong with your eye? He said, my eye started bleeding. All my eyes, blood started coming out of my eye. My eyes were just red and coming out of my ears. And so what's going on? What's going on? So the guards came to see him. What's wrong? What's going on? Are you okay? He said, no, I'm okay. He said, I didn't really care. But he got scared. So they rushed him to a hospital. They took him in. They had a specialist coming in there. He said, you have a growth in your heart. You'll die in a few months. But we have a specialist that can help you fix, help this. So they helped him, looked him up, and they said, yeah, we can probably help you. We can do something here. And he said, I told my mom and dad, they prayed. And he said, I'm going to die, I guess. I'm going to die here in jail. And he said that we schedule an appointment to do the operation, you know, all that stuff. So I'm there. They're prepping me. He said, I'm laying on that in the hospital like this. I said, God, I give you my heart. Forgive me. If you heal me, I'll give my life to you. And so he went into that big machine. They pictured him. They pulled him back out, put him in. They looked at the pictures. He said, I noticed that the doctor just started, he was sweating away. Looking at that thing. He said, what is this? We don't see anything here. Because he didn't say that right away. He looked, there's that big mass in his chest is, it's gone. So he said, we're going to delay this 15 minutes, call the other hospital, send those pictures here. They looked at those pictures. He said, we don't understand. You don't have that. What happened to you? He said, I gave myself to God a few minutes ago. And it's gone now. And you know what he's doing? He's singing for Jesus now. I heard him singing. He's a wonderful singer. And I'd like to bring him here one of these days to share his testimony, how God saved him. But God will love even the drug addicts, the drug dealer. And when they're dying, he'll come up there and he'll help them. Right? And I heard someone here had the same thing. They went to the hospital. They were going to do that last week or the week before. And God totally healed that person. But all the scarring is gone. Right? The testimony. And God is doing wonderful things. You could be healed right now. Just this right here, right now. You could be right there. No one touched you. No one's putting their hands on you. No one's praying for you. The hand of God is right here, right now. I could just sense it right now. The power of God is right there.